Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Welcome to the Capital Connection. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is Ed Cox, chairman of the New York State Republican Committee, and a friend. Ed Cox, welcome back to the program.
Alan, good to be with you again. It's been a while.
Yes, it's been too long. Ed, you officially endorsed Donald Trump after the New York primary. How come? Can he win the presidency?
Oh, yes, indeed. Well, you know, we wanted to have a wide open primary, and we planned it, and we planned around a dinner right in the middle of it, honoring Susana Martinez, the first Latina governor in the United States, and a potential vice presidential candidate, et cetera. All the candidates came to it. We had a wonderful primary for the first time in the history of Republican presidential primaries in New York State, and it changed the course of the nomination process when Donald Trump got 60%. Now, we go way back with him, and I remember Mrs. Nixon in 87, she was watching him on a Donahue show, and she told the president about, boy, he's good, you know, and the president wrote him a letter saying, when you run for office, you're going to win. And some people have that X factor. And he's one of the Reagan, same thing. I remember watching him on Death Valley days. I'm now aging myself here.
Me too. I remember very well.
And you know, I remember saying to myself as a kid, you know, that person should be president. He just kind of had that presence. Well, Trump has the same thing. And he's showing it now very effectively. And I had to remain neutral, and my committee remained neutral, even though a lot of Trump supporters. Because we were having our New Hampshire moment. That is a wide-open, great primary where Trump and Cruz and Kasich campaigned all over the state and gave our party grassroots real excitement and a chance to buy their vote to change the course of the nomination process, and they did. And right after that, I endorsed Donald.
I mean, I read in the paper, for whatever it's worth, that the man that Trump calls Lying Ted, you know, Cruz, is going to get all of the delegates from Texas because he's from Texas. Donald Trump is from New York. Why are you making such a big deal that he won in New York?
Well, he not only won in New York now. he has proven the skills that Mrs. Nixon saw way back when. He's proven what he did now in Delaware, more importantly in Pennsylvania, in Maryland, in Connecticut, and in Rhode Island, where he got over 60% in most of those states, certainly more than 55, I think it's 57 in Pennsylvania. He won every congressional district in Pennsylvania, which, by the way, gives him those 54, basically will give him those 54 uncommitted delegates.
Uncommitted, but do they have to vote for Trump just because he won in their districts? That's what uncommitted is about.
You know, I was speaking to Steve Kornacki, on NBC, and he's spoken to 70 of them, and he said every one of them, to a person, said that they would support the person who won their congressional district. Well, Trump won all the congressional districts, so he's basically going to have their support, and you put that down. He is in a very good position now to get the number he needs to get the nomination on the first ballot. What we need now in the party going forward, we need unity. And as soon as possible, get it done, get behind our now presumptive nominee and start looking to the general election.
I should point out to people, I can't help myself, that you keep referring to Mrs. Nixon, who is your mother-in-law.
That was my mother-in-law. Yes.
I just want to make that
That's
point.
Why I'm fully aware of it.
Did you call her Mrs. when you talked to her, or did you call her
Pat? No, we called her Ma, and the president was Ma, you know.
This
is what the grandchildren, those are the names that the grandchildren adopted for Mrs. Nixon and for the president, so it was always Ma and Ba.
Oh, interesting. Let's go back to something you said earlier. I was fascinated. You hear da-da-da-da, you have the chance to make some news here. You talked about Governor Martinez.
Yes.
And her ability to potentially become a vice presidential candidate. What do you know, and when did you know it?
Well, look, it doesn't take much to know when you have the first Latina governor of any state in the United States, a Republican, that she is a potential nominee to be vice president. Now, having said that, I've been aware of her as working with our gubernatorial candidates through the Republican Governors Association, that, in fact, I saw her when she first campaigning. We supported her, and she had a great story how she was a Democrat. Her whole family were Democrats, and she was talking to some Republicans, and they talked, this is what our party stands for. And afterwards, she turned to her husband and said, you know, we're really Republicans. And that got her started on a political career. She spent 25 years, was one of the top prosecutors as an elected DA in New Mexico, and then ran for governor. And then it's a great personal story. But beyond that, she's had a great record as governor in the way she's done it, both on the political side, the way she's turned the Democratic legislature to supporting her as a Republican, or in fact, where they didn't agree with her, she made sure that they weren't reelected, and because she stood for what the people in New Mexico wanted, and so she turned one house of legislature, got the other supporters so she could get a program. She showed a lot of political skill and has done a good job as governor of New Mexico. So now it's more than just a good personal story. It's a good governing story, and that puts her in the running to be our vice presidential nominee.
So she's Latina, gets those votes, presumptively, and she's a woman.
She's a woman. Well, now, look, all that's helpful, but the most important thing, a vice presidential candidate, if we have so-and-so as vice presidential, he will help carry his state, and that's important. No, that's not the truth. Except in some cases where a Johnson could always carry Texas one way or the other. The most important thing for a vice presidential candidate is that person be capable of being president and appear to be capable of being president right from the get-go. When the spotlight's on them, when they get nominated at the convention and they get their moment in the spotlight, national spotlight, they have to look like this person could be president. This is the first big decision made by the presidential nominee of the party, and people will judge the nominee of the party by that. After that, the vice presidential nominee disappears, basically, except for one debate, and then goes and has to make sure that the base of the party stays excited, stays involved, and gets involved and gets out and votes.
Well, look, I know you're going to consider me a flatterer, but you're a very important man. You're the chair of the New York Republican Party, and you have.
I'm just here, as chairman, laboring in along with my committee to try and.
Okay, give it a rest. Give it a rest.
Get governance and get jobs growing here in this state again, bringing the economy back and making sure that we are no longer dead last as the most highest tax state, the least business-friendly state, the most regulated, all the stuff that's been wrong. No, that's my job.
Give that a rest for a moment. Point is, you're a very important man in Republican politics. Do you think Governor Martinez is up for this? In other words, you think that the Trump people and others have identified her as a candidate who needs to be vetted, who would possibly, because, you know, you're going to be on the news today with this, what we have up to now. I want to make sure of just how much you know about the possibility she would be a vice presidential nominee.
Oh, look, we are now going to start a unifying process for the party behind our presumptive nominee. So it's going to be up to him at some time in the future to decide who our nominee is going to be. All I'm saying is that we've got an outstanding governor in New Mexico who is the first Latina governor and who is a woman and who has been a good governor and a great personal story, who gave a great speech before a national audience, probably an international audience, as our honoree at our dinner just before our primary. That was huge press coverage, and she was the first one out, gave a great speech. Then afterwards, she met with some smaller groups, and I watched her describe what she was doing and getting what her program was and how she was getting it through through politically and just working it through the legislature. And she's doing a great job. So she's got to be on the list.
Okay, she's on the list. Okay, but I'm going to try one more time, and then that's it. Okay, and then we're going on to something else. Is she your candidate?
Oh, I'm very impressed. We have other impressive candidates. Look, there are others. Oftentimes,
how about Ted Cruz?
Reagan picked the person who came in second in 1980, H.W. Bush, who proved to be a great president. What he did, especially in foreign policy and the Gulf War, was huge. Brought us back from the the Vietnam malaise and made us proud again. And the way he did it, huge. I'm making is, look, there are other good candidates out there, and you're right. The runner-ups are often could make very good vice presidential candidates. They've been through the fire. They've been out there campaigning nationally.
Okay.
They bring with them a constituency that can be very important for the party.
Okay. I want to go from there to state politics. First of all, you know, there's a special election to replace Sheldon Silver and Dean Skelos. The Long Island race is still technically up in the air, but it looks like the Democrat Kaminsky may prevail over GOP's Christopher McGrath as right now. So I guess the question for you is, there's this emerging sort of scandal happening with the way in which money goes from party committees, including yours, but not in this case, to specific candidates. Now, can you explain what that's all about?
You know, you got to, I think there's a point being made here, and that is with respect to de Blasio's either extreme negligence in his management was heads in the clouds, and he wants to be the progressive leader, not just of the United States, but of the world, speaking to the Labor Party in London, going to Paris, all the stuff he did, rather than managing the city and paying attention to a city which, if you don't manage it, corruption's going to creep into it. At the very least, that's what happened. He just ignored the important stuff that is what his job was, which was to take care of the people of New York City and give them good governance. At the worst, he was right in the middle of this. And for his own political future and his political program, just not paying attention to the law in raising money and applying it and trying to get control of the state Senate for his own purposes, downstate purposes.
And okay, but
lost,
I think
of course it backfired. It backfired on him.
Okay, but
now,
a lot of people.
It may now. Now here's what may be behind this. Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo,
yes,
went after Spitzer on sort of criminal legal grounds, with respect to the state police and Bruno and all that, and damaged him politically. He went after Patterson and got him not to run again with the same thing with these Yankee tickets or whatever. And again, and he has planned this person in the who was leaked did the memo saying that de Blasio had criminal liability is in fact an Andrew Cuomo person. So there's a huge political element in this, which is not pretty at all.
So what you're really saying is you think that there may be a prima facie instinct here that Andrew Cuomo, in his historic and histrionic fight against de Blasio, really put the Mickey in, is the one who really really behind all of this.
You call it Mickey, he put a Mickey of Spitzer, he put a Mickey in Patterson. Why shouldn't he do it to de Blasio? And this person, the chairman, is clear, is his person, worked for him when he was attorney general. You know, that's got to be taken into account in this. Is there something, is this, and that was a leaked memo, saying that the mayor had criminal liability. I mean, and referring it to Barrera and to Vance, so putting them on the spot that they have to do something. You gotta look at this and Cuomo here really doing something that he shouldn't do, and he's fighting political battles when he should be taking, in a way, criminalizing politics when he should be really paying attention to what he has to do in the state to make jobs grow, et cetera.
Do you think that Cuomo's enemies or his perceived enemies, which is almost everybody who's not him, do you think that they feel that if they oppose him, he'll sick the legal dogs
on? People are scared of Cuomo. just like here in New York City, they're scared of de Blasio, that they got to contribute to him, and to when he calls, they got to contribute, or they won't get their permits, they won't get this, they won't get that. And it's the same. You're talking about two thugs here and who are going at each other. But the governor is more practiced at it, let me put it that way, and has got more people in place. Sam Jacob, he put his person in the Ethics Committee, the present Ethics Commission in Albany, to do the same thing, to protect him, not go after him, but to go after his enemies. That he perceives it, or people he wants to go after, even if they don't want to be his enemy.
There's a lot of talk about the closed primary system in New York. You want to vote in a Republican primary, you have to be a Republican. You want to vote in a Democratic primary, you have to be a Democrat. And you have to sign up way, way in advance, as opposed to other states with same-day registration, or in my good state of Massachusetts, where we can be unenrolled and take a ballot in either party. What do you make of that whole thing?
Alan, we've had a party system going back to the Jefferson and the Democrat Republicans and the Federalists, et cetera. If you got a party system, in the end, we're going to have a nominee of the party. And I think they have a very different states do it different ways. The fact that Colorado doesn't even have a vote on it, but it's done through a system where you've got tens of thousands of people gathering in caucuses and working through that. Each one is another hoop that the party nominee has to go through. And look, you know, while it's been criticized, on the other hand, for with respect to Donald Trump, the fact that he didn't have an organization in place to take care of those things really awakened to, boy, I've got to build out my organization. I got to bring in some more people to do it. It was a good wake-up call. As we're developing a good candidate for our party, it's good that you have different kind of hoops in different states that the candidates have to go through and prove that they've got all the things they need, not just to be a good candidate for the party, but to be a good president.
Ed Cox, do you think that Governor Cuomo, who you have been fairly tough on, do you think Governor Cuomo is beatable in 2018? But the real truth, I mean, you go home at night and you say to your wife, there's really nobody. We don't really have anybody great to run against him who is very popular and has a big name like he does. Do you ever just worry about that?
You know, no.
You're going to tell me.
No, yeah. He's very vulnerable in 2018, and he knows it. He has been, you know, he stole our political clothes in 2010 on the most important issues, and that was with respect to being fiscally responsible. He stole our idea of a tax cap that was developed by the Republicans in the Assembly on property taxes, and he pushed that during the 2010 campaign. He said he would close a $10 billion budget gap without raising taxes. It proved to be only a $3 billion deficit federally, and he closed it by raising taxes in part by extending the surcharge, et cetera. But he still maintained this aura of fiscal responsibility, and to a certain extent, he kept that going in the 2014 campaign. But he got his comeuppance in his own party, which is going hard left and full progressive hard left. And he only got 60% in his own Democratic primary. He had to beg de Blasio to help him and make empty promises to the Working Families Party to get their nomination. He does not want that to happen again. He doesn't want to have to be at de Blasio's mercy, if you will. So he has gone hard left with respect to the work fight for 15 and the 1199 SEIU. He is really making up to the special interest base of the Democratic Party that are basically destroying the economy of the state. He threw his lot in with them completely. He will go the same way as the Democratic administrations in Illinois, Maryland, and Massachusetts, which were followed by Republicans because they failed the people of their very blue states in 2014. He has lost the aura of fiscal responsibility and of being concerned about the jobs of the people of New York State. He will be vulnerable in 2018.
Wait. Do you really think somebody named Astorino or Gibson being my real good friend, do you think that their name, they're who he's?
Sure. I mean, well, how Baker in Massachusetts or Hogan in Maryland, these are very blue states, or the same with the unknown, then unknown at the start, present Republican governor of Illinois. We we will win in 2018, and Cuomo knows it, and he's looking for a way out.
Okay, so theoretically, I want to go back to the state Senate. This fellow, Kaminsky, beats McGrath, and therefore, technically, the Democrats have more votes than the Republicans, except for the five Democrats who do business with the...
No, except for Simca Felder.
And Simca Felder, that's right.
Well, that's very important, because that makes... He conferences with the Senate. He is philosophically right in touch with them, and that gives us 32-31.
Okay, well, but
then you've got the five of the independents, and that deal that's in place, and that's additional support. But they are a separate party, and that's different than having a conference that includes one Democrat that is philosophically aligned with the Republicans that conferences with.
Well, then why does Simca Felder, why doesn't he run as a Republican? Why does he run as a Democrat and then do business with the Republicans?
Well, you know, it's part of the New York City, and people in New York City often will not pull the lever where someone's got an R next to their name, but they'll pull someone who has a Republican philosophy with a D next to
their
name.
Well, isn't that hypocritical?
Not at all. We're starting to change that right now. That's a question of the strength of the party, and we are really building up the party, and I think we're going to change that.
Okay, I don't want to be offensive.
In fact, we got to do it. Our party's got to represent all the people of the state, including the people in New York City, and the parties, gosh, we've got some really great leaders now of the county parties in New York City who are building up the Republican Party, getting ready for the mayoral race and also for 2018.
Okay, but I got to ask you this. You think Cuomo is beatable in 2018, and who can beat him? It certainly can't be Carl Palladino. He fell on his face. Astorino didn't do very well against him. And Chris Gibson, a fresh face, but he's got to get his name out there.
You forgot Harry Wilson. There's another.
Yeah.
Look, we've got a number of good candidates. All of them come from
Wilson's
a different. You named them. They all come from. They all have different strengths. And I think we will. They all understand instinctively as people who have been in politics for a good period of time and have been successful one way or the other in politics.
Okay.
They all understand that Cuomo is weak, and that is why they are all thinking about running.
Let's just jump to the conclusion. You're really close, no matter how you define it, on the state Senate. If Andrew Cuomo tells the five independent people, Democrats who made it their separate deal with the Republicans to go back, they'll have to do it, and you guys will be out of luck. You'll have lost the Senate.
I go back to our conference with Simca Felder is a majority conference. They got 32 of the 63 members of the Senate. So the five independents agree with us on a lot of main points. I don't think Cuomo can order them to go around. They are independent Democrats.
Well, that's a nice way of putting it. Some people think they're traitors.
Whatever it is, they know that Republicans in the Senate are going to do more for the people of New York State and their districts than the Democrats in the Senate.
Ed Cox, when are you going to run for office?
No, I'm just doing my job here, and we've got a heck of a lot to do.
You're enjoying it, right?
To apply Republican principles here, make this state economy work and bring jobs back to New York. And if I can be a small part of doing that as chairman of the Republican Party, I will be a happy man.
Well, you've been chairman for a long time now. How long has it been?
It's been 6 years plus.
Well, that's really pretty good. And since you come on the radio with us all the time and give a spirited performance, I have to say, we very much like the fact that you're there.
That's always a pleasure to be.
That's not always been true.
Alan, you are good.
Our guest has been Ed Cox, chairman of the New York State Republican Committee, a distinguished and important person in national Republican politics. And we'll try to keep an eye on, Ed, what's going on and have you back as often as we can when you explain the machinations of all of this to us. Thanks again.
Yeah, my pleasure.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.